Well, it's my favorite time of the show again. It's time to make a connection with a prominent 90s star on Round Trip with Deva, where we celebrate all things 90s. So, of course, we love Firehouse here. They had four pop hits in the 90s, including two top 10 smashes in Love of a Lifetime and When I Look Into Your Eyes. And Firehouse also won the Best New Hard Rock Band Award at the 92 American Music Awards over bands like Alice in Chains and Nirvana. Now, joining us via Skype right now and making a connection is Bill Leverty of Firehouse. House, how are things going with you?
Oh, great, Dave. Well, thanks for having me, man. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Now, before we talk about Firehouse, I know that you yourself have had two solo albums come out. Your new single is called One, and it's now available on iTunes. Tell us a little bit about your solo career and how the sound is either different or similar to Firehouse.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, well, actually, I put out three albums, and the first one was a hard rock but more blues-based sort of influenced vocal album where I sing and you know, wrote a bunch of original songs and put them on there. And then the second one was an instrumental record. I'd always wanted to do an instrumental record and finally got around to it. Then the third one was another departure from the norm. It's all songs that are about 100 years old, and they all came from the era right before rock and roll was born, so it was all, you know, pre-Elvis. So I kind of went and tried to find out who were Elvis's influences and then who influenced those people. So it was a good little history lesson for me and a lot of fun to make these songs and kind of make them my own or at least put my flavor onto them. That album's called Deep South, so that was my third album. And then, since then I've been doing a couple of, cover tunes where more contemporary cover tunes where I'll take a song like The Ohio Players' Fire and kind of do it my way and re-record it and put my twist on it. And then, like you said, the song One, which Harry Nilsson wrote, I didn't know that until I went to get it licensed, but Three Dog Night made it a big hit in the 70s, and it was a song when I was a kid. I used to really like that song, and I still like it today, so I thought that would be a fun one to re-record. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing. I love to record. I love to write. I love to just make music. So it just kind of keeps me off the street.
I think this is kind of cool. So you've got the three albums out, and I read that you've been asked before if you'd ever tour on your own, and you said something to the effect of, you know, that'd be extremely selfish of me. I wouldn't do that. So obviously you're very faithful to Firehouse. How have you guys been able to put your egos aside and stay together for all of these years? I've always thought that was really neat.
Well, the ego thing is all I have to do is listen to a guy like Steve Morse play guitar, and then I go, okay, there's really no need for an ego. There's no
right
ego, no ego warranted there. I think, you know, that what keeps us going is, we can't afford to quit, number one. And then number two, you know, we enjoy making music. We like what we do. We're headed in the same direction musically. And then on a personal level, we're all kind of similar personalities in that we were raised by good parents and we have the same sort of morals and everything. So it's everybody kind of knows we kind of treat each other the same sort of way instead of one person being completely different. Then that would tend to, I think, make things difficult. So I think the respect for one another and then everybody liking to get out there and work and play live. That's what's kept us going.
So I've heard a rumor that Firehouse has a new album coming out in the next year or so. Is that true?
Yeah, I think it'll be less than a year from now. We'll have it. It's a re-record of a lot of our older songs. And, we kind of just did it for the heck of it to put out the songs. You know, we realized that these songs have evolved over the years, and this is a way to show how the songs have kind of changed. And in so many ways, they are the same, but we're playing them a little differently. And after 20 years, we figured it'd be an interesting sort of thing for not only us but for our fans to listen to the way the songs have kind of grown.
We're talking to Bill from Firehouse right now on a round trip with Deva. So you guys are huge in Southeast Asia. Why do you feel like your music is so big over there? And are the fans just as passionate over there as they are over here in the States?
They are, and I have no idea why we're popular over there compared to, say, Europe or whatever, but something struck a chord, you know, over there. And when the music industry changed around the world with, you know, in the mid-90s with our genre kind of going out of favor, we went over there and toured a lot. And we had some success with our third record and our fourth record, which was called Good Acoustics, which was acoustic versions of a bunch of our songs and a couple of new songs. But, you know, that record went gold in six or seven countries in Southeast Asia. Over in America, where our record company at the time didn't put any money into promoting it, nobody really knew about it, but it was a big hit over there. So maybe that has something to do with it. But, you know, we love going over there. We love the people over there. They're great. And so, you know, I other than that, I really don't know. It's this same stuff that was released over here. It's just nobody knew about it over here, I guess. But if you let people know about it, sometimes they go, hey, I want to hear it again.
Absolutely. So let's go back to the early days of Firehouse then. You guys were formed in Charlotte, North Carolina back in 89. How exactly did you guys meet?
Well, Michael, our drummer, and I were in one band, and CJ and Perry were in another band, and you know, both bands kind of broke up at the same time, and we liked those guys, and they liked us, and we decided to kind of start writing and recording, and then we got some interest from some people, and we actually made a real recording in a real studio, and that, you know, was sort of a ripple effect that happened, where we then got some more interest from some more people, and we got a song on a local radio station, and that had some success, and then you know, things just sort of the dominoes began to fall, and the next thing you know, we got a record deal.
So the name Firehouse, were any of you guys actually firemen? I remember when I was a kid, I used to think, man, these guys are awesome. They're all firemen. Is there any
great question,
link to that?
And everybody thinks we got the name from Kiss, but Michael, our drummer, went through the fire academy in Richmond, Virginia, and was going to be a firefighter. And then he answered an ad in the paper for an audition for a band, which, you know, I put the ad in the paper. And he came out, and we had 30 drummers audition. He was the best by far. He also sang really well, so he blew everybody away and got the gig, and he therefore put the fire department gig on the back burner. But one day maybe he'll be a firefighter. But he came up with the name, and he was going to be a firefighter. So interesting story.
Very cool. So December of 89, you guys got signed by Epic Records after a show. Was that something you kind of expected, or was that a surprise? And then what do you remember about the moment you got that record contract?
Well, I think it was, you know, our attitude by then was, hey, man, it's about time. We had had every record label that we had ever heard of come out to see us, and they had all passed, except for one. We had PolyGram that we had a deal with a guy who was a VP there, and then as contracts were going back and forth and we were negotiating a deal with our lawyer, that guy got fired. So we were basically dropped before we even got signed to PolyGram. So we were really bummed out, and then luckily this great A&R guy from Epic Records, his name's Michael Kaplan, came out and saw us, and he signed us. So we were like, whew. Like that sort of whew, kind of emotion of like, wow, that, you know, we just made it.
Yeah, it was about time, right?
We always had the attitude that we made it to the starting line of a race, instead of like, we made it and now we're done. I mean, it was always basically we made it to the start, you know.
Yeah. So the first album was self-titled. It came out in 90, and it helped you defeat Alice in Chains and Nirvana. We talked about that a little bit earlier. You guys won an AMA for Best New Hard Rock Band back in 91. Now, did you actually go to that award show? And if so, what do you remember about it?
Well, I sure did, and I remember when they called our name. We didn't think we were going to win. You know, Nirvana, I think, at that time had sold, you know, I don't know, 4 million records, and they were all over the radio and MTV and everything. And when they called our name, I felt like my seat was spring-loaded, and it just shot me like three rows ahead, and I ran towards the stage. On my way, we'd been talking to the drummer from the band Alabama, and he had high-fived me, and he was really happy for us, and I ran up there, and you know, it was really exciting. I remember going to a little party that Sony had afterwards, and you know, meeting a lot of people from the label and other artists, and it was a great night. I remember calling my parents, and they had seen it on TV, and it was a really wonderful time.
Did you get a chance to meet Kurt Cobain and Nirvana at all?
No, I sure didn't. Never got a chance to meet them.
Huh.
Their music's great, but never got a chance to meet them.
So I kind of want to talk about some of your big radio hits from the 90s here for a while. Your first album had the two big radio singles. Don't Treat Me Bad was the first one. Where did that song come from?
You know, just the feeling that you get from getting the short end of the stick in any situation, whether it's your girlfriend or your boss or your parents or any kind of deal. So that's sort of where that one.
And then Love of a Lifetime, was that written about anybody in particular?
No, it's just you know, love, and we were all, you know, we've all felt that before, and that was what that one was. You know, when you feel like you found the one.
Your second album was Hold Your Fire. That one came out back in 92. It's probably my favorite Firehouse record. It also gave us my all-time favorite song, When I Look Into Your Eyes, from you guys. Tell us about that song.
Oh, thanks. That's the feeling that you get when you look into the eyes of the person that you love and how that makes you feel. That's where that one came from, that thought and that emotion that happens when you really look into somebody's eyes that you really love.
The third Firehouse album was 3, and that one had I Live My Life For You. That came out in 1995. So, like, you have all these, you know, songs that come out on the radio as an artist, because I hear a lot of artists sometimes, they're like, well, you know, I like the song, but, you know, it's not our best stuff. You should hear the rest of our stuff. It's more representative, etc. Like, do you have a favorite of all those radio hits, and do you feel that way at all about those songs?
Well, I feel like we're a very diverse band, and we do stuff that's, you know, harder edge than what the record company promoted as a single. I'm just really thankful that we're known for anything in this business. I mean, it's a really tough business, so if anybody knows anything by us, that's a real blessing. I would love it if people would listen to some of the deeper tracks and kind of get into the other side of us. I mean, we have, you know, slow tempo stuff, and we have up tempo stuff, and we have, like I say, some heavier stuff. But I don't know. I think that if we were to go out and play all of our ballads in a concert, everybody would be pretty tired by the end of it. So I'm glad that we do have some more higher energy, not more higher energy, but some higher energy material that we can put out there for people to listen to.
I would think that fourth album was probably kind of fun to produce too. I think you produced it, right? The Good Acoustics?
Yeah, I did.
And what was that like? You know, kind of a nice little change up from the rest of the stuff, right?
Well, that one, you know, that was an interesting time for us because we, you know, the record company said, hey, we want to put out your greatest hits. And, you know, we always heard that if they ever tell you that, they're about to drop you. So we said, hey, you know, rather than doing that, will you just give us a really small budget? Most record company contracts have escalations in a recording budget if they pick up their option. So if the record company says, hey, we want you to do your fourth record, usually you get an increase in the budget. Well, their position was basically, hey, we're either going to drop you or you can go in and make a re-record of your older songs acoustically. Actually, that was our idea for us to do it acoustically, but we're only going to give you, you know, I don't know, I forget how much it was, but it was really, really small budget. And we said, yeah, we'll do it. And I knew a guy in Sarasota, Florida, who had a great studio that the Allman Brothers had done some work in, and I knew we could get it done in that budget, and we did. And like I said, that record went gold everywhere they promoted it, and that was in Asia, basically. Now, had they promoted it in America, I think it would have done really well, too, because it was full of songs that people knew, and they were proven to be songs that people cared about. So, but the record company, they're running a business, and they had to move on to what they thought was going to be projects that were where their time would be better spent, and it just didn't happen to include us. But I'm really proud of that recording. I think it sounds really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, so after that one, you guys signed with a record label in Japan, which I've also found kind of interesting. How come you guys decided to go that route?
Well, we decided to be we were free agents, basically, when we parted company with Sony. And so we, we thought, you know, if we license a record with a company in Japan that specializes in Japan, then we're going to have better results than if we try to sign a deal with a company in Europe and let them put it over in Japan. Because, you know, Japan is a very unique market, a very unique language and culture, and you need to have a specialist take care of that. So we signed with a great company over there called Pony Canyon, and put out the record there, and then we were basically free agents to go to the other territories like Europe or South America or, you know, North America. And ultimately we decided to do a lot of the other territories ourselves, but we did have some other companies that picked us up for those certain regions. So it's just a different way of doing it.
This might be kind of a tough question. You guys have had 8 albums out now and several more in the 2000s. Do you have a favorite Firehouse album of all time?
I love them all. I like the way the third album sounds a lot. Ron Nevison produced that one, and he made us sound more like a Led Zeppelin record. And I kind of like that. You know, he produced or engineered a Led Zeppelin album, Physical Graffiti, and he worked with The Who, and he worked with Heart and UFO and Chicago, a bunch of these, you know, classic bands and classic artists, and I just kind of like that sound, so I gravitate towards that one, I think, for the overall sonic quality. To me, it's just it's good on my ears, I guess.
Now, what about your favorite out of all your singles? Do you agree with me on that, When I Look Into Your Eyes, or do you have a favorite of those, you know, 4 or 5 that were on the top 40?
I mean, I like When I Look Into Your Eyes. That's a good love song. I feel like we've done a lot of love songs, and you know, I like songs about different stuff. I mean, for a slow tempo, anthemic ballad, I prefer a song off our second album called Hold the Dream. I think that one's got a cool message to it, and that's a cool one. For the up-tempo kind of rock, or maybe not necessarily up-tempo, but the more rock sound, I like a song off the second record called Reach for the Sky. That's a fun one that's, you know, got some energy to it, and got some soloing that I can do that's, you know, challenging. So I kind of go for that kind of stuff, I guess.
Well, it's exciting that you guys are still active together. The website is firehousemusic.com, and of course you have the solo career as well. So is that the best way to keep tabs with you guys? It's just the website?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Firehousemusic.com is, and you can contact any one of us through that website. Our booking agent can be contacted there. I have a website, which is leverty.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, you know, all those places too. So wherever you can hook up with us, we sure appreciate it.
And I guess my last question would be, what is the future for both you and Firehouse? What do you see it as of right now?
Well, you know, the next gig we have is in Charlotte, North Carolina. And beyond that, I don't know what our schedule is. I think we have a good handful of dates this summer. And, you know, we just want to keep making music and keep going out and playing it as long as we can. If I can do this when I'm 90 years old, I'll be one happy guy. It's a great job, and I thank you and all your listeners for supporting us for this long and making it possible for us to have a career with this.
Thank you so much for all of your time. We're big fans here at the show. We play your stuff quite a bit, and we look forward to staying in touch in the future.
Thank you so much. Anytime we got a gig anywhere near you, please get in touch, and we'll put you on the list and have a little time to shake hands.